I enjoyed that, Brother Todd. So I was just looking at the words to that song, amen. So today, Lord willing, we're going to study, actually, the qualifications of atonement. And I was like, you know what, let me open up this hymnal right now, because I think this song has a little to do about that. I'm going to read the last two verses to you, because this song, this is a beautiful hymn, amen. The third verse says, "My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part but the whole." Amen. So all the sin, amen. Right. He said, "is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more." It's not something you need to bear. He said, praise the Lord, oh my soul." That is why it's well, right? Because all your sin is paid for, amen. Now whether or not you've accepted the payment is whether or not you're going to heaven when you die. That's another matter. But the fact is, all your sin is paid for, okay? And we can praise the Lord for that. In verse 4, he says, "And Lord, haste the day when the faith shall be sight." So what you've trusted all your life, if you're saved, will then become something you actually get to finally see. Okay? Because what's faith? It's the absence of seeing it, right? You're hoping for it, amen? So, "And Lord, haste the day when faith shall be sight. The clouds will be rolled back as a scroll," amen? He said, "the trump shall resound." It shall resound. It will happen. "And the Lord shall descend, even so, it is well with my soul." That is awesome. So, how's that going to happen? Well, I tell you what, your sin's been paid for, amen. But to receive atonement, there's some things that you need to qualify, okay? We're going to study that this morning. First, turn with me to Exodus chapter 32. Oh, yes, brother, never mind. Amen, pastor, come on up. Thank you for the reminder. I thought this was happening after, but apparently it's not.
Well, it's kind of hard.
Amen. All right. So those of you who might be listening in the future on the recording, a Bible is going to be given to Jacob at this time. Go ahead, pastor. Amen. Amen. You can break it in today, brother. Amen. Go ahead, open it up. And turn with me to Exodus chapter 32, Jacob, and everyone else. Exodus 32, amen. So to have an understanding of atonement, you got to look at the Old Testament, why atonement is needed, amen. And in Exodus chapter 32, we're just going to read one verse of Scripture before we begin this morning, amen. One verse of Scripture, Exodus chapter 32 and verse 30. The Bible simply says, "And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, Ye have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up unto the Lord. Peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin." Well, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day, first of all. We thank you for the specials that have been sung, and Lord, these specials that have been played. And Lord, we thank you that it can be well with our soul. And Lord, how precious it is to know that our sins are paid for, amen. And God, we just love you and we thank you for that. And Lord, if there's anything we can do today, it's study your word, enjoy what you have for us, and enjoy our time together. We thank you most of all for your son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for all people, Lord. You're not a God of specific races. You're not a God of all that do not accept. You're God of all that do accept. And Lord, we thank you that you are open to all to come to you. We are thank you for the fact that your word says that you gave your son so that all could come to heaven. And Lord, we love you and we thank you for that love. And I just ask, if there's someone here today who knows you not as Savior, who doesn't know they're going to heaven when they die, I just ask that your word would be open to them, maybe for the first time, and that they can understand that it's free and it's an easy gift, Lord. And there's nothing we can do to get to heaven except trust what's been done. And God, we thank you for that. And we love you today. We ask that you'd be with us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So Exodus 32, verse 30. So notice, "It came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, Ye have sinned a great sin." I tell you what, it doesn't matter what you sin. It is a great sin. Little or small, you know, we tend to put hierarchies and rankings on things. The Bible says a liar is just as bad as a murderer. Now you say, whoa, well, I don't agree with that. No, well, the laws of this world also don't necessarily say that either. But according to God, it's true. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That's what the Bible says, okay? But then it says what? Being justified freely, okay? The gift of heaven is free. You don't have to do anything to get in heaven except for believe what's been done on the cross. Hence why the most famous symbol in the world is the cross, okay? I praise the Lord for what was done on the cross. What was done on the cross? Well, we're going to study the qualifications of atonement this morning. I might have to skip a few verses because sometimes I start preaching, I see an outline, I'm like, yeah, that's not happening. So he says, it came to pass on the morrow here in verse 30 that Moses said unto the people, he's like, you've sinned a great sin. And now I will go up unto the Lord, peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin. So back in the old times, in the old days, they had to make an atonement for sin all the time. People were sinners, and yet the high priest still every year had to first do an offering and a sacrifice for himself to enter in the holiest of holies, and then he had to do a sacrifice and an offering for the people. For what? For the atonement of their sins. Now, atonement wouldn't be needed if we weren't sinners. However, we know what? Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men. That's a quote from the book of Romans. It tells you that you're a sinner. If there's something you can know for sure this morning, it's that you're a sinner. Now, there's another thing you can know for sure this morning, that you can be a saved sinner. Some people, I already know I'm saved, amen. 1 John 5:13 tells us that we can know we have eternal life. Why? How? Because you've trusted on the name of Christ, okay? That is so important. If you haven't done that today, then you don't know. You have that doubt in your mind. And if the words I'm saying and the studying of the word of God this morning makes you wonder, then guess what? Today's the day, man. Don't put it off anymore. Because you never know when God's coming back. He could come back today. He could come back tomorrow. We don't know. But when he does come back, as that song, As Well With My Soul, said, the trump shall resound. It's going to happen, okay? That day will happen, whether through the grave or through the rapture. So atonement is required. Why? Because all people are sinners. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 51. So I should probably explain to you this first point, but I think you might already get it. The first qualification for atonement is you have to be a sinner. Funny coincidence. Everyone's a sinner. So everyone qualifies for atonement to need be in their life, okay? So Psalm 51, just verses 3 and 4, this is what the Bible says. He said, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. We were studying Psalm 73, and I was talking, and you know, I believe David is a very transparent person. And he understood that he was a rotten sinner. He said that he was as a beast in front of the eyes of the Lord. And I think we all need to understand that about ourselves, that we really need that atonement. In verse 2, he said, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Well, that cleansing cannot come without the atonement of God, okay? It can't happen. Verse 3, he said, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. You've got to admit that you're a sinner. It's that simple. He said, verse 4, against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightst be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. You got to realize when you're sinning, you know, if I tell a lie about someone, that lie, that sin, yes, it seems like it's just related to the person you might be telling a lie about. But I tell you what, that sin is really just against God, according to the word of God. That murderer doesn't realize they're murdering against the God, the one and only true God. That adulterer doesn't realize they are causing and committing adultery against the one and only true God. And it's as simple as that. When you look at it that way, it's like, okay, this makes it a lot more clear. Because when man gets involved, it gets gray, it gets confusing, it gets tricky to understand. We need to just trust what the book says. The book says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. That's not gray. That's very, very simple. Okay? So understand here. We need to understand that sin must have occurred. I quoted it already, but let's turn to Romans because it's very good to see the text. And if you don't have the text memorized, you should. Romans chapter 3, verse 23, I cited it earlier. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all come short. And you're like, man, you're kind of tall. It doesn't matter. I'm short when it comes to God. It doesn't matter where I rank up. And by the way, there's always someone taller. So there's no reason to try and measure up in this world. 6'4" me looks very short next to 6'9" center that I used to play next to. So people would say, well, he's the shooting guard. Well, then take a look at the other guy, okay? And I tell you what, you compare him to someone in the NBA who's 7'2", 7'3", they're tiny, okay? And then eventually you're going to get to the point where you got to compare to what? God. Now, my Bible says his hands span the universe. That's right. Amen. So we're tiny, okay? We're tiny, okay? You got to be humble and just read this verse for what it says. It says, for all have sinned. You are included. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We could stop there and be depressed, or we could read the next verse. A lot of times people like to just take offense to the Word of God and not just see what the book says after. Well, the next verse says, being justified freely. It is free by what? His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So we're kind of jumping ahead a little bit in this verse here, but it's very important to understand that it's a free gift. So step one, qualification for atonement is you have to be a sinner. Guess what? We all qualify. Praise the Lord. Step two, there must be a blood sacrifice. Turn me to the book of Leviticus. We have to go back to the Old Testament. I believe it's important to understand the origin of these things. Now, I believe 100% and I know 100% that the blood of Christ cleanses all people and all sin. But we need to understand why the blood is needed. The book of Leviticus in chapter 16 tells us. Leviticus chapter 16, verses 11, and I'm going to look at a couple verses, but just keep with me here for a little bit. First, let's look at verse 11. And Aaron shall bring the bullock of the sin offering. So we have a clear example. Sin is required, right? And there needs to be an offering for it. He says, which is for himself. He's the priest, notice. And shall make an atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself. So the priest first had to sacrifice an innocent animal. And blood had to be shed for him to just get to doing what he needed to do. In verse 14, he says, and he shall take of the blood of the bullock, and notice, and sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat, eastward, it says, and before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle the blood with his finger seven times. Interesting, seven times, the holy number, amen. But then if you will jump ahead, also take a look here. Actually, you know what? Let's just read through it because it's not many verses. In verse 15, it explains the atonement for the tabernacle. It says, then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering. Now notice, that goat, that's for the people. And bring his blood within the veil and do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bullock. And sprinkle it upon the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. And he shall make an atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel. Let's stop there. It's not just about the uncleanness of the children of Israel. I'll tell you what. We have the example of why this needs to happen right here in the book of Leviticus. But for that part where it says for the children of Israel, you know what? I'm going to go as far to say it's for all. It is required for all. At this time, the children of Israel is where we were at. This is where we were at in the story. He said, why? And because of their transgressions and in all their sins. So we already know why, right? If someone comes and asks you today, why is atonement needed? You say, step one, you need to be a sinner. That's what it says here too. Step two, blood needs to be offered. Let's jump to the New Testament. We've seen where it is, and now you can know, okay, I can go to Leviticus chapter 16 and see why blood needs to be shed. But if you go to Hebrews chapter 9, we can see, and I'm so glad, by the way, that we can jump through hundreds, if not in some Bibles, depending, thousands of pages, and literally thousands of years of time, and the book still agrees. You won't see that anywhere in history, by the way. The science textbooks right now don't match up with the ones 50 years ago because the truths keep changing. But you don't see that with the Word of God, and I think that's awesome. I just wanted to say that. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 13 to start off here. And I'm going to do a little skimming. But notice this. For if the blood of bulls and of goats, we just studied that blood of bulls and goats back in the Old Testament. It says this, and the ashes of the heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh. In other words, they had to keep doing that because those atonement offerings for sacrifice and that blood, it was just taking care of the sin that they had committed and the sin that was current at that time. It wasn't taking care of their future sin because why? They had to do this every single year, and it wasn't taking care of all of their sin. In other words, it wasn't taking care of like the sin outside of the tribe of Israel. That's where it's like, whoa, well, wait a minute. Then what's going to happen? What about my sin? Because guess what? I'm not Israeli. I'm not Jewish. Okay, I'm French, Canadian, and Italian. Now you're like, oh boy, here we go. That's my blood heritage, okay? So it's easy to say, oh, well, then it doesn't have to do with me. No, it does have to do with you. If you're a sinner, according to the Bible, it does have to do with you. That's step one. Two, there needs to be blood. Hebrews makes this clear as well. It talks about that bullock. It talks about that goat we read about. And then in verse 14, it gives us the really, you know what? There's something more. And I praise God that God has so much more in store for us than we really don't even know. Verse 14, he says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot, by the way, Jesus was sinless, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Jesus gave his blood for you to know for sure you can go to heaven when you die. That is awesome. That should get you excited. If it doesn't, you know, maybe just check that you're awake right now. Because that's good to know, okay? The sin you commit tomorrow has been paid for, okay? Praise the Lord for that. But you still need to come before him and say, you know what? Lord, I'm sorry. You know, people who think they get saved and then say, well, I can do what I want now. It's all paid for. They don't understand the price of that blood. They don't understand that Jesus was perfect and did not sin. You know, you'd think just the fact that everyone knows that Jesus came into the world, and pretty much everyone, if you were to ask them, well, what did Jesus do? They could probably roughly explain to you that he died and was crucified on a cross, okay? Now, they might not get the why. That's the atonement part. Why did he do it? To atone our sins. Because his perfect blood was the only thing that could pay for all of our sins and say, you know what, God, they're worth heaven. Because you know what? We're not worth heaven, okay? So first, we need a sin must occur. Second, a blood sacrifice, okay? We all need that blood sacrifice. The children of Israel needed it, and I tell you what, you need it today if you haven't accepted it. Next, a guilt must be transferred. So because you've sinned and because a sacrifice is required, you're guilty before God. Every one of us is guilty. And we should feel some guilt, right? The word guilt, you know, oh, don't guilt trip yourself. Well, with God, it's okay to feel guilty because you are guilty, okay? But there's something good about that guilt. Turn with me to Leviticus chapter 1. You're like, man, these old books, I'm sick of flipping back here. It's good for your fingers to get used to it, okay? And then you can remember where the origins of it were, okay? So sin must occur, there must be a blood sacrifice, and guilt must be transferred. In Leviticus chapter 1, verse 3, it says this. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And then in verse 4 he says, and he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make, notice the word, atonement for him. So what happens is, so that animal, I've already kind of hinted towards it. Does that bull deserve to die? Did that bull commit that sin? No. Now you could say the same about Jesus. Who committed the sin? I committed the sin. Now, I haven't committed murder, okay? Praise the Lord. But that doesn't matter, right? Now, it's my natural desire to think, oh, well, I'm not a murderer, right? Each and every one of us can at least go down that list of 10 commandments, I would hope, and have at least one they haven't committed. I would hope. Now, I'm not trying to get us all freaking out here, but you should feel some guilt when you go through that list of 10 commandments, knowing that there's a lot of those that you did not keep, okay? Yes. That guilt is important. That guilt also, according to this, is transferred. Where? To the innocent one. Now, in the Old Testament, it was the bull. It was the bullock, or it was the goat, or the ram. It was transferred to that. And if you notice when I was reading, it's easy to notice, or miss it, I should say. In verse 3, it said, let him offer a male without blemish. Needs to be perfect. That needs to be a young, precious, innocent. You're like, wow, that is awful. You know what? Your sin is awful. You should take offense to that your sin is ugly. It requires this innocent little animal to die. Going to go on a little tangent here for a minute. Me and Kels, we just bought a lizard. You're like, what does this have to do with anything? Oh boy, here we go. We just bought a lizard. I had a bearded dragon when I was a kid, if you've heard of them. I had it for a good 16 years. And we just bought one. It's, I don't know, maybe a few weeks old. It's like this long, and it is super cute. Now you're going to get where I'm going with this in a second, okay? I look at that little thing like it's done nothing wrong, and it is adorable, and it can barely keep up with the cricket it needs to eat to survive. Now, I could go home and take a sledgehammer and smash that thing, right? Whoa, this is horrible. Okay? Yes, Hannah's face right now, if you could all see it, is perfect. That should be our reaction to our sin every single time. Because you know what? This is what was happening in these days. They were taking this cute little ram and slaughtering it. Why? That's an ugly thing. Shedding the blood of an innocent creature is an ugly, sad thing. When I see people abuse pets and animals, it gets me mad. Why? Because there's wrong there. Well, guess what? With your sin, the same thing. It is wrong. It is not okay. And because of that, there's a blood sacrifice required. That's the word of God. If you disagree with it, I'm sorry. I don't always feel good that these little animals were dying in the past, but God's word tells us it because it was happening, because why? It had to happen. There needed to be an acceptance for that blood. And eventually, it was showing forth Christ. That eventually Christ was going to come, born an innocent little baby with perfect blood, and he was going to shed that blood. Why? For all of us. They didn't whip him with that cat, the cat of nine tails, which had pottery on it and ripped his back open. Okay, they didn't whip him with that, what was it, 39 or 40 times? 40? Yeah. So they didn't just whip him with that for no reason and spill his blood there. They didn't just shove the crown of thorns on him for no reason. They were accusing him of blaspheming and lying. And by the way, he didn't. If Jesus really didn't believe what he was there for, he would have turned and walked away because he did not have to die on that cross. He chose to willingly die for all of our sin. And it was an ugly display. You know what? Hollywood, they even portray it like he was all cleaned up in makeup and everything. No, not at all. It was way bloodier and way worse. And crucifixion is the worst death I believe you could go through. It is horrible. I mean, imagine having a nail hammered through your hand. There's nothing you can do about it. And then the other nail. And then through your feet. And then you're just hanging there. He was pretty much bleeding out as well. And suffocating on your own weight. That is terrible. That's what your sin looks like before God. That was what you owed. But what did Jesus do? He said, you know what? In Romans 3, we read it, right? It's free. He did that for you. That is awesome. If you haven't accepted that today, I implore you to consider it when we do an altar call at the end of church today. Or I implore you to ask one of these dear men of God to show you in the Word how you can know for sure you're going to heaven when you die. It's not something you should doubt. So the guilt was transferred, okay? Sin must occur, blood sacrifice is needed, and the guilt is transferred to that innocent being. I'm going to skip some verses because I had a lot more. There's also something else. The guilt's transferred, but then something wonderful happens, and only God can do it. The guilt is removed. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. This is a beautiful thing, because in our court systems today, guilt doesn't get removed, okay? If I go out and kill someone today in St. Jay, and I get convicted for murder, if I'm fortunate, I'll just get life in prison. I don't know if we even do the death penalty here anymore, to be honest, but I'm going to be guilty, and I will have that guilt till I go to the grave, okay? The guilt never gets removed is my point. Only with God can that guilt get removed. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the Bible says in verse 11, and such were some of you, but ye are washed. Notice this, you're washed, you're clean, by the way. But ye are sanctified. He says but each time. Take notice. So he says, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified. He keeps saying but because he's like, you know what? It gets better. It's like on the game show when he's like, you get a new car on Price is Right. Oh, but there's more. But there's more. It's like those infomercials. But there's more. Well, God's doing that right here. He's like, look, you've been sanctified. You've been washed, but there's more. But you're justified. How? In the name of the Lord Jesus and by what? The Spirit of our God. Amen. If you get saved, if you call upon the name of the Lord and you admit that sin openly to God, he's going to wash you. He's going to clean you. He's going to sanctify you as if you've never sinned. Amen. That is wonderful. That is a beautiful thing. This is why we get excited, okay? This is why you should feel happy in church. When I grew up as a Catholic, I didn't feel happy in church. I was confused the whole time and didn't even believe there was a God. Some churches these days, they just don't open the book. And I don't know why. This is why we should be here, to study what God has showed us and to praise the Lord. So praise the Lord. The guilt's transferred. The guilt is removed. And forgiveness is granted. Turn with me to Romans chapter 4. I have a Leviticus verse for each of these, but we've hammered Leviticus pretty good, and I want to make sure we get everything down. So Romans chapter 4, we have some beautiful verses on this. Romans chapter 4, verses 6 to 7, the Bible makes this very clear that your forgiveness is granted if you trust in Christ. Notice this. But to him that worketh not, I believe I'm in the right verse. Oh, that's verse 5. Let's read it. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted righteousness. That's you if you trust in Christ. There's no work. It starts with that verse. There's nothing you can do. And then what does he say? Verse 6, even as David also described the blessedness of man, unto whom God imputeth righteousness. He says it again. He's trying to get a point across to you. Without works, there is nothing you can do to go to heaven. You walk out in St. Jay today and ask someone, do you know you're going to heaven when they die? First, they're going to look at you like you're crazy. Why are you asking me this today? Give it a try, honestly, if you want to see that I'm right here and that the Word of God's right. They'll be shocked first. And then if you ask them, well, how do you think you get to heaven? I guarantee you almost all people will say, well, I'm a good person. They're relying on works. I do nice things for people. Now, there are some that might be honest and say, no, I wouldn't make it. They at least know the truth. They wouldn't make it. But if you still probed and said, well, how do you make it? They would say, well, you do good things. You be nice to people. You give to the poor. That's what the world wants you to believe. That's not what the Word of God says. It repeats it here. It says, notice, unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. God simply gives forgiveness and grants it to you based on the fact that you trust his son. In verse 7, he says, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Well, how does it happen? Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. It happens if you accept that payment. It happens if you accept that atonement for your sin. So it's very important to understand that. You need to understand you're a sinner. You need to understand that there's a blood sacrifice required. Guilt is transferred, and then it's not only that, it's removed. Praise the Lord. And then forgiveness is given. And lastly, righteousness is attained. Turn with me to Romans chapter 10. We're just going to go a few pages ahead. I got to remove an old sticky note that was in my Bible to read these. Romans chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. The Bible says, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness. Those were the people, by the way, that I was just describing to you, try and say that they need to get to heaven on their own works. That's what they're trying to do. Notice, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. If you want to accept the atonement, you've got to submit. You've got to humble yourself before God and say, you know what, I am worthless. I can't do this on my own. And even if you're saved today, you still need to come with that attitude. God, I can't do it on my own. God, I need you. God, I'm still a sinner. And you need to have that idea in your mind. He said, they have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Well, okay, let's get the explanation here. Well, how can we attain that? How? Verse 4 tells you in the first two words, for Christ. That's what it's all about. It's with Christ, it's for Christ. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. That means those 10 commandments cannot condemn you anymore if you've trusted Christ as your Savior. Those 10 commandments don't have to do with you anymore. You should want to follow them because they're still important. They're what convicted you. They're what said you're a sinner. They're what said you need to actually accept what God's done for you. They're the cause of the first qualification, the sin. Okay? It's very important. Turn me to Philippians as we finish up here. Philippians chapter 3. If that wasn't clear enough to you, Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. Bible says, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness. You know what? Your own righteousness is not going to work. It's what? It's which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ. You want to go to heaven when you die? You want to know for sure you're going to heaven when you die and have your sins paid? You need to have the faith in Christ. You need to say, you know what, God? I'm a sinner. I believe my sin is enough to send me to hell. Christ died for me, for my sin. And it didn't stop there. After he died, he rose again, saying, you know what? In the end, you will rise also. Your sins are not going to hold you in that grave. They're going to bring you to heaven because you know what? Christ has paid for them and he's gotten rid of your sins so that sin can't be looked at on you anymore. That's how you go to heaven. You just believe that. You trust, okay? That's why he said, it's of the law if you want to have your own righteousness, but what? But that which is through the faith of Christ. That's what it's all about. The righteousness which is of God by faith. It's not just about Christ. For you to get to God, you have to accept what Christ did. Amen. As Amy comes up to the piano, I'm going to ask a few questions. And if you've got someone you need to pray for, you can feel free. The altars are open right now. There's a lot of people we need prayer for. Pray for our pastor with his eyesight. Pray for a family member you know who's lost. As Amy goes to... let's do 155. I think that's Lord Coming Home. As Amy begins to play, you just take your time and you pray to God. And if you're lost today, consider what Jesus did for you. It is so easy to know for sure you're going to go to heaven when you die. And it is too easy to pass it up. You know, it's very easy to accept what Christ did. But it's even easier just to say, no, you know what, not today. Today it's not for me. I did that for about 21 years. And it didn't help me at all. And my life was just continuing and continuing down an ungodly path. And I tell you what, the best thing you can do is accept what Christ has done for you and accept what he wants for you in your life. Let's pray at this time. You can pray in the pew. You don't have to do anything specific here. We're just going to talk to God as we finish today.